You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Game time decisions.
Let's roll. The Friday edition. Game Time Decisions Radio, Red Heat and Rage. I am Rage, Gabriel Morenci, sitting alongside the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. March of Madness continues.
Oh, it's madness.
Sister Jean continues divine, to roll her way through.
Divine intervention,
the
buddy.
Bracket.
Hey, you said it. You said yesterday, Nevada kids. Go up to Sister Jean and give her a cross.
I'm an idiot for betting against Sister Jean. I'm 0-3 now. It's three games. I'm really starting, you know, it's funny too. Everyone's like, oh, that's what's great about March Madness and Loyola Chicago. I hate Loyola Chicago. I want to punch these kids in the face.
Yep.
And I want to see like a big school just beat them up. Like, I'm not down with Cinderella's, man. All right. I'm not down with Cinderella the band. I'm not down with Cinderella the fairy tale. And I'm not down with these Cinderella stupid stories. All right.
I like Cinderella stories.
They're not winning anyways.
Actually, I do have good news, though.
They're not winning anyway.
Michigan's path looks a hell of a lot better, and they were the only favorite who got it done last night. They look good.
I'm not one of these people that thinks anything looks better. You play who you play.
Yeah, well, I like the. I think they can
like
get it
that
cut.
Whole logic. People, oh, it's better to play Florida State than Gonzaga. I don't know.
Florida State
Gonzaga evidently aren't that good.
No, they're not.
So maybe we would have rather played Gonzaga.
Hey, Florida State's on a heater right now, but
that's
so is Michigan.
That's the thing about this tournament, Cam. The fact of the matter really is
who's hot.
Yeah, let me ask you right now. All right, so we're down to 12 teams
yep.
now. Do you think that Loyola Chicago, Kansas State, and Florida State are top 12 teams in the country?
God, no. No, they're not.
But here they are in the tournament.
You could say talent-wise, I could say Kansas State and Florida State, you can make a case for not top 12, but top, you know,
but you know what?
Top 25.
Chicago, they're a top 25 team. They had a good
bottom end. Yeah, but yeah.
They're better than I give them credit for. The thing is, they're not that good. It's just they don't really make mistakes.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing. What did the good teams last night do?
These other teams just beat themselves around
you. They do.
Like, you know who they are? They're like the Kansas City Chiefs of basketball. It's pissing me off. And, you know, Sister Jean, she's really stealing these kids' spotlight.
Yeah, it's the kids winning the games, even though God's helping.
Yeah.
God, I tell you, hey.
Did you know that Sister Jean didn't even take them in her bracket?
So, no, she bet against the hometown team.
Tell me
the first game she took them.
She took them. She had them getting knocked out in the Sweet 16 last night.
Oh, okay. Hey, at least she took them the first two games.
Now she's saying, oh, no, I have another bracket where I have them winning it all. They're probably going to beat Kansas
bracket.
State at this point.
I don't think so.
I mean, I don't know. I'm 0-3 with these guys. So what do I do?
I don't know if you get on the train. It's going to be you're three stops late at the station. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Kansas State getting into foul trouble. They had five guys.
Who does the league want? Who does the NCAA want? You want Bruce Weber or Sister Jean?
Oh, Sister Jean, for sure.
She's a nice story.
She's a great story. So is Kansas State Wildcats, though. Like, look what they did.
Who's on the Kansas who? Oh, yeah, Kansas State Wildcats.
That's a good story, beating Kentucky. It's a huge story. And Calipari at the end of that game, what are we doing? Like, what are these guys doing?
How many times were they going to say the kid's name last night? Dean Wade. Dean Wade. It's like, yeah, we get it. Yeah. His name's Dean Wade. All right? Dean Wade. Oh, Dean Wade. Oh, Dean Wade. Give him 12 minutes. Dean Wade. There's Dean Wade's mother. I don't give a crap about Dean Wade's mother, all right? All this syrupy crap, March Madness garbage. Ooh, there's Dean. Chris Webber's waxing poetic. Chris Webber's going on last night. Everyone dislikes Chris Webber's analysis. I think he does a great job for the NBA, but he doesn't do college during the regular season, so he's doing college. And he's talking about it like he's, I swear to God, you think he's Peter Pan. He's like, it's such a thrill to be in a tournament and, you know, playing in front of your mother, and I'm just getting goosebumps right now. It's like, number one, dude, you hate the NCAA. You used to bitch all the time. You didn't make any money off of the jerseys. Number two, you got banned from Michigan's campus. Number three, you didn't even show up to our damn reunion, man, of our Final Four Fab Five run when we made the Final Four. And now he's sitting there like he's Johnny College Basketball, like he loves the sport. He loves everybody involved. It's like, dude, just save it, bro. You know, go do a Sacramento King and Atlanta Hawk game. Speaking of which, man, thanks for nothing, Atlanta, last night. Betting on the Atlanta Hawks in the middle of March Madness. Yeah, that's a great, great move, man.
What about those Hornets? Ooh, that was stupid.
Yeah, man. The NBA.
It's what are they up, 70? I'm like, what, 147?
I saw the score.
Kemba Walker, what do you have at the half? 38 points? 35? Yeah, 35 at the half. I'm like, well, okay. Sounds pretty
good. It seems to be the theme of the week. Talk about this with Sincata. Every night, one of these Hornet guys just goes
bananas.
Off.
You just got to pick the right guy, right? It's unbelievable.
Yeah, yet the Hornets still suck.
Yeah, they're not that good. But
dude, at one time,
it was a weird night in general.
I think it
night.
Was like 112 to 57 at one point.
Dude, it was Dog City. In the NCAA, the Dogs went 3-1.
Yeah, yeah.
And hockey, four Dogs are like plus 250 or better one. It was nuts.
It was 140 to 79 the final.
Yeah, 140-79. Good effort there, Memphis.
They lost by 61 points.
I know. That's hard to do. It's hard to do.
They only missed the cover by 53 points.
Come on, Memphis. They're,
they were plus 8.
Imagine like, you, man, you just call it into your book.
That sucks, Ken.
Give me Memphis plus 8.
Well, it sucks because my new book, actually, I had the Memphis Grizzlies on a 52-point teaser.
That's right. With the 5.5 rocks.
Can I get a 50-point? Like, you were plus 8 last night. So even if they did, imagine you stumbled across a book. It's like, yeah, you're desperate. There's no way out. You're like, man, they got 50-point teasers. I'm just taking all the Dogs plus 50. There's no way. Yeah. It's like minus 600 teaser. You've got to take 12 of them. You're like, yeah, there's no way.
There's no way.
And basically, I just tell Cam, listen, Cam, as long as somebody doesn't lose by 61 points tonight in the NBA, we win this teaser. Wow. Well, they lost 140 to 79. I guarantee you there was some dude like that thought, you know what? I'll take the Grizzlies on a teaser at plus 13.
Oh, yeah. No, or yeah. They might even do a super one at plus 18. You might get the extra one with the 10 points. But,
you and I have done it. Yeah. I remember 2 years ago, the Rams sucked, man, and you and I both lost on the same teaser without even talking to each other.
Oh, yeah. We texted each other.
It was like
other.
The Atlanta Falcons.
Versus
the Falcons
Rams,
were red hot. The Rams, 2 years ago, Falcons went to the Super Bowl. It was late in the year. The crazy thing is I bet on the Falcons all the time. And, yeah, the Falcons were 7.5-point road favorites in Los Angeles.
And we did the 16-pointer to make them 20.
That was
plus
a 13-point
teaser.
Was
it 13? I thought it was 16. But anyway, so plus 20.5.
I had the Rams plus 20.5.
At home.
And they lost 35-7. Thing is, it was like 21-0, like 6 minutes into the game.
Yeah. They scored. Atlanta scored. Rams got the ball. They fumbled it. They scored again. They fumbled. They scored. It was 21-0.
I thought to myself, I'm like,
what the hell did I do?
I was like, man, I could have had the Falcons at plus 6.
What the hell? That's the problem with those damn teasers.
Because, you want to just add it to the dog, right?
Yeah,
you're like,
wow,
let's make it up to 20.5 points.
For
man.
Sure. It looks so
as long
good.
As they don't lose by 3 touchdowns on their home field.
Looks amazing on paper.
Which happens. Yeah, you know what else looks good on paper, Cam?
What, Gabe?
Ink. You know what happens to ink? It fades. It dies.
Wow, this is morbid. I really want to cheer you up.
Paper means nothing.
I like paper.
It's like saying, oh, on paper, they look like a good team.
I like paper. They appreciate paper when you buy things these days. Paper. Everyone's on credit. Cash wins. Paper wins.
It's going to be a cashless society very soon.
Yeah, I don't like it. I like cash.
Oh, screw off. I don't like this either. Freaking Morocco just scored against Serbia. Son of a bitch.
It's just, I'm sorry, man.
I don't know why I do this.
I don't either. Like, I don't know either, man.
So for the record,
are we on Columbia or France? Like, in game.
I didn't touch this one.
Well, let's do something. Let's get on it together. And
it's
maybe...
funny. Yeah, the one game I have on TV, I don't have. Yeah. Right, we'll take a look at this.
Yeah, we will. I want some live.
Well, there's a lot of people betting on this.
Yes, of course there is. It's
not like soccer's not a popular sport or anything. Right? It's only like billions of people.
Dude, these are powers too. Like, this isn't some truck teams playing here.
So I've got a three-team teaser. I've got a three-team parlay. This should be soccer teasers.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, plus 3.5 goals.
Oh, that's a lot of goals, though. Just like the Rocks, I'm going to have to step in.
Two and a half.
We really, oh, that's what I like to see. Check mark. Yes.
There you
Tunisia
go.
And Iran stays under 1.5. That's right. I just bet on Tunisia and Iran.
Doesn't matter what you bet on. Just more checks.
Every second fan in the stadium was a CIA agent. Tunisia and Iran. That game was under heavy surveillance. Check mark. Winner. All right, so I win that. Right, that's a nice couple of plays. But now I'm sweating out Costa Rica and Scotland.
Ooh, that's
I'm part Scottish.
I'll tell you, though.
And, Costa, I've been to Costa Rica.
Tough, tough game. Very tough.
Costa Rica's up 1-0. Yeah,
Scots will
in
win.
Scotland.
Yeah, yes.
Pretty disappointing, Scotland.
Yeah, Scotland's brutal. I remember the one time I remember, Gabe, when I was younger, I was doing stupid things like you, and the World Cup was on, and they played Turkey, and my Scottish buddy, we were drunk at the bar, he goes, this is a lock. I know the Turks are favored. He goes, yeah.
Turkey's way better.
I know they're, no, but we're getting a goal and a half. He's like, oh, Scotland's getting better, everything's cool. Cue the tape. I remember we put in like a couple dimes, and next thing you know, it's 3-0 Turkey at the half. I'm like, you're an idiot, Forbes. You're an idiot. Yeah, he's really like he's born in Edinburgh, like groundskeeper Willie. I'll tell people out there, just don't bet. No, actually, don't bet on Scotland. They'll let you down. They're a team that doesn't come through a lot.
I don't know if it was the '90 World Cup or I think it was 1994. Yeah, I think it was 1994. Man, it was over the top. Scotland played England in the World Cup.
Yep.
In the World Cup, like it was like the first time.
Scotland
like
doesn't qualify
years.
Very often.
It was nuts. And our boy Paul Gascoigne was on
the
team.
What a party animal!
Yeah, he's got a puffier face than Sonny Vega.
Dude, he's got three nostrils.
But Gascoigne. I don't even know if Gascoigne's still alive.
Eight arms, three nostrils.
I think Gascoigne.
Six livers.
I think he might have passed away.
If he did, man, he went down swinging because that guy was a machine. The story on him, they did a documentary on that guy. It's nuts. What he put into his body, and he still played soccer at a high level. Like, imagine he was actually healthy. That would have been nuts. I think he's still alive, actually.
No, he's still alive.
Yeah, I know. I don't think he's dead.
Also known by his nickname, Gaza.
Gaza.
This guy could drink.
Oh, Kenny, look at, is that what he looks like now?
Yeah.
See, it's hard living. Hard living. That sucks. What was your Scotland England story? Did you bet on England and make some money, or did? Because you don't want to bet on Scotland.
No, that's it. I bought into the Scottish hype. No, and,
thing. They'll let you down, Gabe. You know that. Don't bet on Scotland.
Yeah, but so will England.
Actually, good point. England will let you down too, but not as much as Scotland will.
Like you don't.
Hey, France is up 1-0. That's what I wanted to take was France.
Allez, allez le bleu.
That's Colombia's a pretty good team, too.
That's what they're called. The
Les Bleus.
Les Bleus.
Yeah, the Blues.
The Blue.
The Blue. I like France. France's uniform's really classy. Just the red, white, blue.
Classic,
it looks beautiful. Like, you put that thing on, man, you're already got the edge.
Look at these guys and how they pass the ball around and stuff.
Perfect.
Run compared to, like, an MLS game.
Oh, it's I know. That's what we were talking about.
MLS is very, you'll notice, it's sort of like nobody ever has time with the ball. The ball sort of randomly is bouncing around everywhere. These guys, it's like a yo-yo. You'll notice it's like they're in complete control. Even when they kick it away, they know exactly where it's going.
From 60 feet on the third bounce, it'll hit your leg. When I'm watching an MLS game, it's like a pinball machine. It's just going ding, 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 ding. It's off the bumper. Like you said it. Like there's a couple guys with skills, but it's a whole different. This is artwork, and the MLS
like
is just
MLS
they fight
game,
the ball.
And I like MLS soccer.
It's still good.
But I'm just stating this is how high level of this is. It's another level.
The best of the best of the best. Like we're watching.
It's like comparing Pavarotti to somebody in a karaoke bar.
That's true. And, they're set pieces here. Like you saw that even that that chip right there. It's like beautiful stuff.
France, to me, are the second team to beat in the World Cup. Like, I think they legitimately could win this World Cup.
Where do you got Germany now? Do you still Germany, France.
Germany's the favorite alongside Brazil, but I'm telling you right now, Brazil's not winning.
Brazil's not winning the World Cup.
Dude, Latin countries never win in Europe. And last time I checked, Russia's still in Europe.
As I told you, I made some early bets. I've taken Germany.
Against the European Union's will.
I think Portugal at 25-1.
Yeah, don't be too influenced by Portuguese, Joe.
Yeah, we put the money in. I'm just saying it's a value.
No, I agree.
I think Germany a lot, though.
I agree. I think Portugal are being way, way undervalued.
What are they ranked in the world right now? Seven? I think
World
rankings, seven or eight.
World rankings don't mean jack.
I still think they're an amazing team. They beat Spain in the World Euro. Like they're a good solid team.
Like
and they should be 25-1.
They're a top. Yeah, they're
a seven or eight team.
They're a top 5-7 contender. Yeah, like
definitely. And you're getting
the thing is though, like
Germany
people,
four. What are they 5-1?
It's like every other sport, Cam. Like the Belgians. You're not even a soccer expert, but you know.
I never bet on Belgium.
Belgians are all hype. The Belgians are the fourth favorite to win this thing.
What are
they? Come on.
12-1 on Belgium pass.
They're like Belgium are like they're like Holland. Like half the guys on Belgium don't like each other. They blame each other all the time when things don't go well. They are extremely talented.
But they won't show up.
They're a poor man's France. And, you know, they don't like to hear that, but
they are.
The fact is, though, I should say there's not really anything poor in Belgium. Like, even the homeless people have more money than you and I do. Like, a welfare check in Belgium is probably like, you know, $5,000 a month.
Nice. They're doing pretty good over there.
We should move to Belgium.
Yeah, we should.
No,
I'll be a street buster in Belgium.
They don't want the immigrants rolling
over. No, that's the thing. They have a closed door policy in Belgium. Belgium, that's the thing. They're always hyped. They suck. They got one good player. They're never going to get it done. They're the fourth or fifth ranked team all the time. Same, you said it, Netherlands. You focus. I don't like Brazil at all either. When you're breaking this stuff down, Germany is reliable. You know they're going to be there. They're going to get it done. They don't choke, Gabe. Betting on the Germans is one thing. You can go into war and go, you know what? I got a better than 50% chance to win with these guys. They always come through.
Game Time Decisions Radio, Red Heat and Rage.
Personal experience.
I can't disagree.
I know, because they're amazing.
Steve Merrill's going to join us. We're going to talk some NASCAR. Do they have their snow tires?
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Game Time Decisions, Red Heat and Rage Radio. Dear God, I think John Rahm just cost me $1,042 parlay.
He might have, because I didn't even want to tell you the scenario.
God.
I go, all we need is these other guys to tie.
I actually won the other five matchups.
It's unbelievable. Guy, you know what? Alpha Barnrat went 3-0. That dude, who cares about fitness? This guy is just boiler out and crushing people.
He really is a goofball, this guy, too. He's like, hey, guys, hey, like,
I know. He's like, oh, he's like,
he looks like a dude, like you would say, hey, bro, like, are you supposed to be out here?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he almost looks like he'd show up at the golf course in flippers and like want to go for a dip in the pool with a snorkel on. Hey, everybody, it's Kiradash.
Yeah, but he's one of these guys.
But when he's
happy to be on the tour, life's good. Yeah, yeah. He's like, hey, I'm just a happy guy. All right.
He's a huge dude. He just hacks darts and makes money.
Let's bring in Steve Merrill. Very happy guy. Steve Merrill, postsportsinfo.com. One of the covers experts. What's going on, Steve?
Capital City Goofball.
That's unbelievable. I played a $5. I'm not like the biggest golf bettor, Steve, but I threw together a $5 match play. So, like, who'd win sort of the region? Like, it's head-to-head. So, like, who'd win the group? I did a six-golfer parlay. I put $5 on it. It paid $1,042, and only one dude screwed me. And there wasn't like a hedge opportunity or anything. It's complicated,
stuff,
right?
Yeah.
It's like a round robin, three golfers playing each other. Yeah, I guess if I'm an MIT major, I could have figured out how to hedge it, but it was pretty confusing. And the crazy thing is, Steve, me and Cam, it's unbelievable, isn't it? Like, we needed one match not to be a draw, and it would have forced like a playoff with Rahm. But
yeah, it's the perfect scenario, and he still loses.
Keegan Bradley pushed his match,
yeah,
which eliminated Rom.
No, no, at the other, no. We wanted that. We needed a tie, so if he won his match, we'd have a playoff. I'm just saying, if one of these other guys won, he actually, the scenario was set for us, and it never happens like that. Rom's the idiot. Everything else worked out great. He lost. He's the jerk.
We're the idiots for taking Rom.
Yeah, that's my fault there. I liked him a lot.
Yeah, I'm looking at you.
Yeah, well, yeah, I had some good ones. Hey, I got some good underdogs, though, Gabe.
All right.
Lots of pooches alive.
Let's talk NASCAR with Steve Farrell. Right now, and Cam brought something to my attention earlier. I guess they're going to need snow tires. I looked this up, Steve. I was like, man, has there ever been a NASCAR race in snow? I see the video here, the Sharpie Mini 300 in 2006. They're throwing snowballs.
Yeah. It was awesome.
And Michael Waltrip is every bit as goofy then as he is now, in case anybody is wondering.
Yeah, they're calling for flurries on Sunday in Virginia, so I guess that's Southwest. That's definitely an area could get. I didn't even think about that, to be honest, because it's, you know, 50s otherwise. But yeah, Martinsville definitely kind of mountainous territory near Blacksburg and that realm.
They were saying, Steve, top temperature 40. Like they're estimating like 40 to 43. Like how's that going to affect things? That's going to get pretty stupid. And they say if it's not going to snow, it's going to be a rain snow mix. So things can get very interesting this weekend.
They're saying basically it could snow. There's a 35 to 45% chance that it's going to snow during the truck race.
Yep,
which would be pretty cool. They're in trucks, just plow through it, But yeah, it'll be interesting, Steve. It changes the dynamic, but that's why these guys are experts, right? They have different tires, different knowledge, different data for different temperatures.
Yeah, I would actually think snow actually would be very beneficial because it probably could be raced in because it's not going to get the track wet. It would melt by the time it hits, you know, in the heat of the track. Rain, of course, wipes out any racing. But the track temperatures, as long as they're consistent to the practice sessions, it doesn't mess with the drivers too much. Where you really see a difference is when it's a 20-degree difference between practice and then race day, and then the setups change and the notes and everything are different. So I think it's going to be cold all weekend, so it probably won't affect the drivers much. And to be honest, it'll probably be more comfortable for them because on a summer race, it's sometimes, 110, 120 in the cockpit. I can't imagine doing that for 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah, I think they'll probably enjoy it, actually. The driver's little
shaking. They said it, Gabe. I read that story about the snow. They said they don't mind the snow and whatever. It's the fog and the rain. That's the real problem with the situation here. They go, we'll deal with snow.
Yeah, and I think fans embrace it because it's a novelty. But it's not going to snow on Sunday. Like I said, for Saturday, they're talking about the truck race. It actually 35 to 45% chance. Could snow. It's going to be snowing in the area. But, Steve, it's interesting in this race in the sense that, you know, we had the restrictor plate race, and then we said, all right, now we're going for real. But since we've gone for real, basically, it's the same old, right? You know, some guys have this downforce figured out. Some guys don't. And we see that Kevin Harvick is back to his dominating ways. Truex Jr. is right there as well. But now we go to Martinsville. It's sort of an equalizer, isn't it, Steve? I mean, you know this is in your backyard, so tell people. I mean, it's not a restrictor plate race, but it's such a short track that, you know, having the way better car is sort of eliminated a little bit, and driver skill comes into this major league big time in this this race.
Yeah, there's only three tracks under a mile in the entire circuit, and it's Martinsville, Bristol, which is Tennessee-Virginia border, and Richmond. So basically, they're all three Virginia tracks. The two half-mile tracks are Bristol and Martinsville, yet they're totally different because Bristol is an extremely highly banked track, almost as banked as Daytona, the biggest track. Martinsville is short and flat, so different drivers do well at each track. And the same guys that do well here usually do well year after year because of the setup and the uniqueness of it. And the two drivers that have dominated recently have been Kyle Busch and Brad Keselowski. Kyle Busch has won two of the past four races, and he has been top five in five straight races here. Keselowski, meanwhile, has been top five in the last four races as well. So these two guys have figured it out, and they both have been strong, by the way, on the other tracks this season as well. Both were really good last week at California. See no reason why that would be different this week.
You know what's fun about this race, too, Cam, is this is where they trade paint. You know, the old trading paint. It was interesting. I was reading, like, guys can smash into each other here a little bit if you don't like someone.
Yeah, I like that.
It's a little
that.
Bit more reckless when you're going 200 miles an hour, right? You're like, yeah, I might hit him, but I might, like, kill myself here in the process. At 96 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah. You get some damage.
So it's 96. So sometimes they'll be like, you know what? I'm going to bump this guy out of the way here. Yeah. So it's that old school sort of South demolition derby. Out of my way. People love this stuff.
I don't like you. I'm going to hit you.
Like, there's fights here and stuff, Steve. And I'm reading Clint Boyer. He's like, oh, I love it. I hope it gets physical. Like, the drivers love coming here.
Well, it's a little early in the season for guys to be too mad at each other. But last week, Kevin Harvick had won three straight races. And he went for a record fourth straight and got taken out early. Although I think he more took out Kyle Larson, to be honest. I'm not sure Harvick can be too mad at Larson. But we did have a little bit of an incident last week between Larson and Harvick. We'll see if that carries over this week.
Incidents are good for business. It's like hockey fights.
Exactly.
NASCAR is always at its best when there's fights in the garage.
Sure, yeah.
Like
they
drivers
can say
are
whatever.
Throwing helmets at each other.
You're going to take fighting out of the game. No, fightings get ratings.
Yeah, so... You mentioned a Donovan.
Speaking of which, they apparently had their lowest ratings ever last week in, like, recent history. So, conspiracy theory, you might be onto something. Yeah.
Wow. That's actually, you know what?
Very interesting. Maybe a fight.
Yeah.
Fake fight. Fake news, fake fights.
They almost need to, like, tell them, all right, boys, we're going to ease up on any penalties if anyone does anything crazy.
Easy.
Sort of like Vince McMahon's old school constant accidental wardrobe malfunctions.
Exactly.
Until it happened, like, 10 times in a row on Monday Night Raw. The USA Network was like, listen, all right, you got to stop flashing breast, okay? Because he's trying to get ratings.
Of course he is. So he'll do anything.
He's like, oh, yeah, our top came down again by accident.
Yeah.
It's like the sensors caught on. They're like, all right, Vince, you got to stop doing this deliberately. Yeah, they're going head-to-head with the tournament, but, you know, I love NASCAR. My biggest beef is when it's on.
Yeah.
The Sunday afternoons. In the summer, it's great. But, you know, head-to-head with March Madness, head-to-head with NFL football, we got a problem.
We got a big problem. What about the betting board, boys?
I'm looking at Kyle Busch.
He's plus 350. He's the favorite.
I'm looking at Kyle Busch to get his first win of the season here, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, I think Busch and Keselowski, if their practice times are decent, they're by far the two heavy favorites this week. But as you guys are talking about with the weather, a possible postponement or delay, a rain-shortened or snow-shortened race, that brings a little bit of uncertainty, and it becomes more of a restrictor play track where it's always uncertain. So those are the concerns I have. But from a numbers perspective or recent history, Keselowski and Kyle Busch are really ahead of everybody else pretty far.
Other than those guys, Steve, with Busch at plus 350 and Keselowski at 4-1, is there any other guy you look at that says, hey, maybe he's got a chance with a little bit of value?
Yeah, I think Denny Hamlin is worth a look. He's, you know, the Toyota cars, the Gibbs cars have been the best on the circuit for the past year. Denny Hamlin is very good at tracks like this. He has been top three in, I think, four of the last seven races here. He won back-to-back races, or he won back in early 15, had a third-place finish. Last year, he had a 30th and a 7th, but he has shown the ability to be very good on this track, and he's been good at Richmond over the years as well, which is just a slightly bigger track.
So the underdogs were barking last night once again in the Sweet 16.
Yep.
March Madness continues. Those five-point dogs last night get it done, Cam. They both went outright with K-State. And then FSU getting 6 points went outright, which leads us right into these games tonight where they're both 5 points. And I think a lot of people are scared. I'm getting messages from people. I'm getting people on Twitter. I got buddies. Oh, man, I'm a little freaked out. What do I do with these five-point, like, it's one of those deals, Steve. Like, are the underdogs going to win, or is tonight one of those nights?
You never know.
Favorites go 4-0 tonight. Kansas, Villanova, Duke, and Purdue all just crush and roll. I don't know, man. I'm a little rattled. I can't lie, Steve. What do you think of these games tonight? Clemson and Kansas.
Yeah, I mean, every game's an individual matchup. You know, just because, you know, dogs go 3-1 last night really doesn't mean much here tonight. It does seem to even out over time, but I look at every game as an individual matchup. I really liked Kansas State and Michigan last night. They were two of the strongest plays I've released all year. In fact, at coverage.com, Kansas State was my game of the year. So that was not a surprise to me. What I liked there was the half-court defensive dog against a young team. And how funny is it that we get a similar matchup tonight with Clemson and Kansas? You know, you get a more athletic, talented Kansas team laying the same number, as you said, five against a good half-court defensive team at Clemson, who, by the way, took advantage of Auburn last week, a team that likes to play fast and really beat them up from the start. Auburn only had one prep day, though. The advantage Kansas does have is they've had almost a full week now to get ready. We'll see if they fare better than Kentucky did. But keep in mind, Kentucky could have won that game last night. Probably should have won that game if they just hit some free throws.
I was going to ask you, Steve, about West Virginia and Villanova. Villanova seems to be the cream of the crop, and they're probably licking their chops watching all of these crazy dogs come in and these results. But West Virginia, very, very dangerous team. They've looked pretty good in the tournament. And what surprises me is I talk to a lot of people. You look at everyone's on Nova, but the number hasn't really seemed to move that much. Kind of scares me a little bit. You got a take?
Yeah, last Sunday I loved West Virginia. Had a strong best bet on them against Marshall. I like the fact that they only had one day to prepare, and West Virginia, with that pressure, I thought they would take advantage of a Marshall team that liked to play fast, played very little defense. Villanova is a pretty tough matchup, though, for West Virginia now. Nova has more time to prepare, plus they only turn the ball over 10 times per game. They're one of the best ball-handling teams in the country. They're the most efficient offense in the country. So I'm just not sure this is the matchup that you'd want for West Virginia. When I put my bracket out a few weeks ago, I had West Virginia as one of my long shots at 40-1, and I still think they could get it done. If they win this game, I think they'll be in the Final Four. But unfortunately, Villanova is a tough matchup for them because I just don't think they're going to get the turnovers like they normally get. And defensively, West Virginia is not as good as people think. In fact, Villanova ranks higher efficiency-wise in defense than West Virginia. It's just West Virginia seems like a good defensive team because of all those turnovers. Should be a high-scoring game. It's around 152. Both teams average over 80 points a game. The over could be worth a look, actually, for that reason.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
It's a high
track
number.
Track meet.
It's a high number. They're playing this game in Boston, in an NBA arena. In Boston at TD Bank Place or whatever the hell they call it, TD Bank
TD
Garden.
Waterhouse Garden? Yeah, whatever. They got my mortgage and they're fleecing me, so,
that's
all you need to know. TD basically owns my liver and heart and everything else.
The least they could do is, like, hook you up with tickets. They're like a luxury suite. TD something.
No,
like,
I guess,
we fleece you on your mortgage. Yeah. Here's some tickets to a game.
This is the best. I met with Muhammad from TD Bank. He goes, Cam, if you would have done this, I could have saved you $32,000. I want to punch him.
Thanks for telling.
Yeah, thanks for the tip, buddy.
All right. So, yeah, West Virginia, 17-15 to the over this year. And Villanova been a big over team, 24-12 to the over. You mentioned it, Cam. Villanova looked like the cream of the crop.
Yep.
Putting up 87 and 81 points, respectively, in these two tournament games. Meanwhile, West Virginia racked up a ton of points, too, 94 and 85 points in their two NCAA tournament games. All right, Steve, so before we get you out of here, you've got Syracuse and Duke.
Ooh.
This is an interesting one because they play each other all the time. A lot of people are bringing up the fact that Syracuse's zone will be sort of defenseless against Duke because they see it all the time. Yeah, with the exception of the blowout this year, it was 60-44, and I don't really put a lot of stock into that because – Syracuse are never the same team midseason than they are in the tournament.
Yeah, they always get better.
Yeah, so it's a different scenario. And besides that game, there have been a lot of close games between these two teams. I don't know. It's a tough board tonight. What do you make of the Syracuse-Duke game?
Yeah, what jumps on me about the meeting a month ago on February 24th isn't that Duke won by 16 at home, but they did so shooting just 2-for-17 from three-point range. So they hit 12% from three and still won by 16. So that might be a bad sign for Syracuse because if they hit anywhere near their norm, they would have won by over 20. The line on that game, by the way, was 13.5. If you take off maybe 4.5 points, that would have been 9. My power ratings make the line 9.5 tonight. So the line of 11 on a neutral court is too high. I just don't know if I trust Syracuse's offense. They're the worst offense remaining in the tournament. They're going to have to really slow this game down and hope that Duke once again does not hit their three-point shots.
It worries me.
They hit a lot of three-point shots.
I'm taking Purdue.
You know what? I need Purdue. Big time. No, I just talked to my buddy with the pool, Gabe, the $60,000 pool. If Michigan and Purdue meet, like, we got a chance to win, like, 10, 20. Like, we have a chance to win this thing. Me and Billy the Doorman climbed up 108 spots last night.
No reason Purdue can't get it done.
Get it done, Purdue.
I like Purdue, Steve.
I think Purdue can get it done. You know, the line is pretty short because Isaac Haas has been injured, the center, but this is a team that shoots 42% from three-point range. Texas Tech just 4-5 straight up their last nine games, just 1-7-1 against the spread. So even though they've won back-to-back tournament games, you can make an argument that they're still not in great current form.
Steve Merrill, ProSportsInfo.com, one of the covers experts. Thanks for the time, Steve.
Thanks, guys.
Take it easy, Steve. Hey, Gabe, if your Michigan Wolverines win the national championship, it's good news for both of us.
I try not to get my hopes up too high.
I'm getting my hopes up. I'm excited.
One win away now from the Final Four.
Exactly.
And then anything can happen. That's the whole deal with college basketball. You get to the Final Four, and then you hope for the best. I've been down this road before with Michigan, right?
I know.
We made it to the Final Four like two years ago. You know, we made it to the Final Four in 2013. We actually played Syracuse.
Yep.
And we beat Syracuse. That was a few years ago. But we made it in 2013. We made it to the championship game. We were up by 18 points early in the first half, ended up losing to Louisville.
Yep.
I still don't know how, if they vacate, how we're not the champs.
Exactly.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
This is Steve Merrill.
Yep.
I'm starting to buy in, actually, that Kansas is going to kick the crap out of Clemson.
Really?
Yeah, like last night, I didn't think Kentucky was going to kick the crap out of K-State.
You know what? Actually, I'm going to go the other way in that one. I really want to take a shot with West Virginia. I think Villanova might paste West Virginia. And the thing is, and I'm going to tell you this, Gabe, I don't know, I'm getting some weird vibes. I think Duke, it's going to be a lot of publicly bet dogs with Syracuse. I think Duke beats Syracuse by like 18.
I don't know anyone to like Syracuse.
Really good? No, I'm just saying the line's gone down, though. It's gone from 11.5 to 11. Some people are betting Syracuse.
Right. I've taken Syracuse in all three games that they played
in
this tournament.
I know.
Including on the money line against TCU in Vegas, but this game perplexes me. I think Duke in a money line situation.
Put a money line parlay together?
Yeah.
With Villanova, Duke. You like Kansas? I don't know. I'm scared of Clemson. There's something about that game that
Kansas,
that's the game that's got me on the radar.
Kansas, Villanova, Duke, moneyline parlay, plus 134.
Not bad.
It's actually not bad.
Why don't you throw Purdue in there? But that's a tight spread.
Then I bet Purdue individually.
Yes, you can do that too.
Oh, Isaac
Haas.
Bill Haas.
The berserker, Haas.
John Rahm, screw me for.
I honestly, I hate this guy now. He has ruined my day. I've had a really good couple 24 hours too, and then John Rahm, you're an idiot. All yet, like this, I can't believe the situation set up this way for him actually to advance to win you $1,000, and the guy loses like gets smoked today. Anyway, hey, a lot of guys are out. DJ's out, Rory's out. Like, you know, that's the thing. I've learned my lesson about this tournament. I am not taking chalk. You can't, like, even on like a DraftKings lineup, Gabe, you do stars and scrubs. No, you do scrubs.
I saw
you do half a barn rat. And I got Patrick Reed. I got all these other guys. Hey, Fleetwood might come back after his first loss. He's 2-8 right now. He's going to probably get through. That's what I'm doing. Screw the top players in the world.
You know what
except,
sucks, though?
Except for one guy. And I told you yesterday, who is the biggest winner again today without the frills? Justin Thomas. This guy's been in Little Spieth's shadow for his whole life. Oh, Jordan Spieth's the best. He's the major winner. And the minute this guy got a taste, you know what he said now? Screw you, everybody. I'm the man now. So he's stepping up out of this kid's shadow. He's getting things done. He's the University of Texas Longhorn you should fear. That's my take.
So we'll get into a single match elimination play on Saturday here.
We will. I hope Peter Uihlein, he won today. If this guy wins the tournament, I got this guy at 175-1. It's not happening, though. Him or Rafa Barnrad.
Justin Thomas is now the favorite to win.
What is he?
4-1.
Yeah, it makes total sense.
Bubba Watson is the second choice at 10-1.
Mm-hmm.
Sergio Garcia, 10-1.
Patrick Reed. Yeah, I got him at 40. Gabe now down to, 12? Watch out for this guy. He's a match play maven. He loves this stuff. He loves Reed's a fighter. He likes to get in people's faces.
What's the deal with Duffner? You a Duffner fan?
I got no problem with Duff, man. You like Duff?
He seems to complain a lot.
Then again,
he was upset yesterday. I don't know if you
saw. Did you see the woman he lost? And then
he's the guy.
Wasn't Tiger Woods and some other guy banging her?
How did he get that chick in the first place anyway?
She is a 12 out of 10.
That's the whole thing.
She is actually one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen.
That's what kind of sucks because because all these guys, they're all banging hot chicks and they're all cheating on stuff. But you're right. It's a little different. The guys on the tour were doing his girlfriend when he's on the tour.
Yeah.
Like if I was
and everyone
Duff,
likes him.
If I was Duff, I'd start like spraying golf balls around accidentally, like each guy that went anywhere near.
Let me tell you a story. So remember Duff too?
But
when he was there, Gabe? Duff was the friendly fat guy. You know, he had that boiler and, you know, that bad lid. Hey, Auburn, War Eagle, right? So he's going there. So guys on tour really love it. Like, oh, Duff's such a friendly guy. I love golfing with him. Friendly enough to tap his girlfriend, right? So what happens? What happens when Duff gets a little bit mean, right? He hits the gym. His paunch goes down. Hey, his paunch goes down a little bit, right? A little feisty. He's got a major. You know
what
happened?
He's got a new hot girlfriend,
too.
No,
I'm going to tell you, though. That's the thing about Duff. I think kind of more like us, even though he's like a rich golfer who went to Auburn, he's got a lot of emotional roller coasters in his life. Like, he puts on weight, loses a girl, bangs a girl. Like, he's got things going on. Like, these other guys, like, you know Ricky Fowler's trailer park trash. He's going down there. Hey, you guys, we got a party on the boat. And they're going to get laid.
I'm no Ricky Fowler fan.
Ricky's partying. Do another farmer's commercial.
Yeah, Duffner was pissed yesterday because Jason Day didn't give him a gimme putt.
Oh, yeah, that they do that stuff, yeah.
And it was like three and a half feet type thing.
You know what the problem is?
So he stood there. Yeah. He was about to lean down.
Yeah, and Day's like,
and Day gave him like the...
I kind of like that.
There's no gimme. Yeah. Like, he's like, it's not
a... Want to know why, Gabe? Nobody misses more two-footers than Duff. He's the worst putter on the tour.
I guess Day's
but a great,
like,
bobble striker.
So
yeah, so Day knows that.
He's like, I'm not giving you that.
Sorry, Duff, I got vertigo.
Yeah, so...
I banged your girlfriend.
So it's funny. So Duffner sort of stood there for a second, like, really?
Are you kidding me?
Really? Yeah. And he got like, so he did the putt, and then after, Cam, he leaned down and measured it.
Oh, really?
But after he hit it. So he hit,
so
the,
he
putt,
hit the putt,
and it was in.
Yeah.
He got the ball, and then he looked over at everyone, and he measured it with the club. And he shook his head and he stormed off.
I like it. I like it on both sides. Duff being pissed and Jason Day making him putt. You know what, Gabe?
Jason Day,
you
like,
said
hey,
it,
we're
though.
Playing for a lot of money here, man.
You said this a long time ago. What does golf need? Golf needs more.
I didn't even think they had gimmies in a thing like this. There's no gimmies in a PGA.
No. On a one footer, they'll just say they pick it up, right? You know what I mean? But anything outside of 3 feet, you got to putt that damn ball.
No, I'm not gimmying.
I don't care if it's the size of your shoe. You're putting that damn ball in damn hole.
If it's so damn close, tap it in.
Exactly.
Just tap it in.
Tap it in.
We've seen guys ring them out.
Buddy, I've watched when we play our cash game for like, 50, oh my God, $50, we got the shakes. I've seen Jason Duffner, Morenci, miss at least 30 putts of 4 feet or under. Like actually 3 feet or under. So you know what? Day knows his M.O. That's the thing. Anyway, Duffman's an angry guy right now. That girl that he lost, she was like one of the most beautiful women. Like, she crushes guys on tours. Like, she was the pinnacle of the PGA Tour. No offense to Ricky Fowler and Dixie Duke jean shorts that he's rolling around with and these other guys. Like, Jason Day's wife's a smoke show, too. Absolute stunner. These guys do well. Must be nice to be a golfer, too. Like other sports, you can get a back, you know what I mean? Like you break your leg or something could happen. Like worst thing you have, oh, I got a little back strain. Like, you know, what are you going to do? Oh, yeah, we're watching it right now. This is, oh man, he's putting his weight back on. See what I told you?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, yeah. That's basically, you just should have told him to F off.
He gives him the look like, you're a dick.
Him and Jason Day.
Oh,
not buddies.
Duffner, not happy at all.
Duffner is not going to.
Thing is, he nearly missed it.
Of course he did. He probably hit it right on the edge.
He got all serious. Yeah, and he was like,
yeah, his blood was boiling. Yeah. I look at him. See what I'm talking about, though? He was. He's back. He's back to like keg partying, like, yeah, man.
Oh, he's gone on Twitter about it.
Yeah.
He's that upset. Putt was 4+ feet, fine with putting nose. We have a discussion with my caddy on how far I hit the first putt. Use the club to measure it.
So you're denying. Duff, if you're going to get
Duff, come on, Duff.
I'm bad. I'm mad at Duff now. Own your
Duff
own
is
your,
saying, no,
own
no,
your BS.
I didn't measure to own show it. Up Jason Day.
If you're going
to
talk.
Yeah, you did. You even gave him a dirty look after.
Hey, you want to talk shit? Own it up. Come on, Duff.
Putt was
back
4+ feet, fine with putting nose. Was having a discussion with my caddy how far I hit the first pass. Use the club to measure it. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Know what, Duff? We don't need a lie detector test. You're a straight up liar. Like, that story is so unbelievable.
Dude,
like,
I can't see, even.
It's you
see
the
whole
look.
Sequence of how he's pissed.
He basically
to
told Jason Day, F you, I want to hit you with
he
this
He waits
golf
there
club.
For a minute. He's like, all right, you really going to make me hit this? He hits the shot. Then he measures it, and then he glares over like a UFC fighter towards Day.
Exactly.
Like, F you, Day. I just hit the putt. Are you happy?
I talked to my caddy, and we measured the putt coming back. That is such bullshit. I can't even tell you how much of a lie that is.
Little Duff no, man.
I like Duff man. No, still, he's got, for a guy that's rich, yeah, he likes to stir. Remember he did that thing, too?
I almost prefer Patrick Reed attitude on this.
Oh, you're a lot. No,
Patrick Reed would say, yeah, you're damn right I was pissed he made me putt that.
Exactly.
That's a pile of shit. Like, he'd be all like freaking out.
I told you the story. Patrick Reed puts it behind a sprinkler head. Phil Mickelson's got turtles and squirrels and whatever putting the ball back in the fairway. Jordan Spieth hits the ball out of bounds in the British Open Championship. They give him a free drop, and Patrick Reed is behind a tree, two sprinkler heads, whatever. He's like, now, Mr. Reed, play the ball. Want to know why? They don't like him on tour. He's not part of the gang. He's a lippy guy. You know what, Marantz? I'd be like you. If you were a good golfer, you'd be like, F off. Like, you know what I mean? They go, no, Mr. Marantz, you can't get a free drop. Then you just snap.
Called the guy. Yeah. He goes, well, I guess if I was Jordan Spieth, I'd be different, right?
Exactly. Different strokes for different folks.
So I guess,
buddy.
Reed's not a big fan of Jordan Spieth, evidently.
They're playing each other right now.
I know.
It's tied right now. Actually, they don't even hate each other. He just basically called them out. Saying, Spieth's the golden child, and I'm not. You know what I mean? I'm a bigger guy,
Reed's not as good.
Yeah, Reed's got it.
Reed's a bitter dude.
He is a bitter dude. Know what he did in college?
He needs to win, though.
Know what Reed's problem? What he did in college, like a real bad move. Like my buddy, for a couple friends. You met my buddy Rob G. Golf. Apparently, in Augusta, when he went to Augusta State instead of the other schools, he stole his roommate's wallet. Like he had no money. He's just like I like his golf game. It's like, come on, dude. Like, you can't steal people's money, like friends' money. Like that's pretty bad. Sorry, it's a known story.
There's a lot of dirt balls on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, there's some guys you definitely don't want to.
They're hustlers. Yeah, if you're a pro golf player, you pretty much put a lot of work into not working for a living.
Great point, Gabe. When I worked in a back shop, I used to clean rich guys' clubs, and they all knew I had a gambling problem, right? So at the end of the shift, all the rich guys, these guys are millionaire members of the club, they're knocking on the door. Hey, guys, when you're done the clubs, we got card games in the clubhouse. So they used to love, you know, paychecks
were
gone.
That's the one thing I underestimated.
It's a scumbag move, and they're great at it.
But they're hustlers, exactly.
They're the biggest hustlers out there.
They're hustlers. I didn't realize how much they drink and party as well. And I didn't realize that the PGA, they've toned it down. They don't talk about it as much. But I guess it was becoming a problem where, I guess, like, every caddy smokes weed on the course.
Yeah, weed's probably that's their drug of, like, at the bottom. Like, they had caddy parties where they're snorting more snow than, like, Columbia. You know what I mean? Like, these guys are, I told you.
What I'm saying, there was, like, an internal memo, basically, with the PGA. They were like, guys, kind of, like, they weren't doing it on CBS Sundays and stuff. Practice rounds, you know what I mean? Sort of like guys on a golf course.
Yeah, kind of like the Morenci Stewart Invitational at Banty's Roost.
Yeah, so you can imagine, like, Reed's caddy's like, be back in a second, Pat, and he's like stepping into the bush.
But like, buddy, Robert Garrigan.
I guess like all the caddies like blaze weed. Like, I was reading this thing. They're like, oh, yeah, like the caddies, it's just a common thing. They sit in the clubhouse and smoke weed together. Yeah.
Robert Garrigus, Gabe, is a born-again now, but he used to smoke so much weed. I remember he was in a tournament. He used to go to the porta-potties and just, like, hotbox them because he's like, I need my weed, man. Like, you know, he's getting stressed out there. Calm him down. You said it, though. These golf guys, like, everyone's like, oh, yeah, they're the biggest hustlers. They'll take your last penny. They'll take your paycheck. I had millionaires. I was a kid, Gabe. I was making, like, at that time, I think it was, like, $7 an hour. Way back, whatever. I'm lifting up their clubs, 4 o'clock in the morning. They got me lying to their wives about their cash games, right? And these same dudes, I got, like, a $700 check. They'll take it with ease in a poker game from you with no remorse. It's like, oh, you stupid kid. Yeah. Life lessons, hustlers.
Sad news from the horse racing industry. Jockey Jose Flores.
Really?
Taken off life support on Thursday following an incident in a race at Parks Racing.
Parks in Philadelphia, wow. That's horrible, man. That guy was a really good jockey there. He was like one of the mainstays there. That's all. I'm surprised, actually.
He had over 28,684 starts over his career. He won 4,650 races.
That's good.
Made $64 million in earnings.
Nothing wrong with that.
Unbelievable.
I'm going to tell you, and I watch Thoroughbred
Racing. He's the all-time career driver at Parks.
At Parks, he's Parks' best driver. He's Parks' best jockey.
Two other riders went down in the accident, Ruben Silveira and Carol Sedano. along with their horses, came out unscathed.
Will you watch horse racing with me?
It's a dangerous sport, man.
That's what I'm saying. And I'm watching. Have you noticed? And another thing that I've been noticing about horse racing, Gabe, I'm paying attention. They used to have sometimes, you know, in the big races, 16 horse fields, 14, whatever. I'm noticing a lot of the time now, a lot less, more room or whatever. It's because you got to be honest. You got a thundering animal going at that speed with a little guy. You clip some heels, boom. I'm surprised. I got to be honest. I'm surprised more people don't die in horse racing. Not what we do. We're in standard bred. You sit back in your car and let the horse trot. I'm talking about jockey on horse thoroughbred racing. I'm surprised at Gulfstream.
I hate to say it as an owner of a horse, but it's not a business that's good for anybody. Like, if you add it up.
It's a business good for rich people who invested in the business to make money.
They're just doing it for show. But most gamblers at the track are just sort of dudes that are losing their money. Race owners, just dudes that are losing their money.
Some guys.
Trainers and jockeys are risking their lives.
That's true.
And it sucks for the horse. Like, it's not like, who's it a big party for?
Yeah.
And even the government that back this stuff, they all lose money. Like, it's like horse racing industry.
It's pretty crazy.
It's a loser industry.
No, it gets some people rich, though. Rich owners who own good horses. That's the problem. You had their millionaires.
They're already rich, Cam.
Not all of them.
They didn't get rich from the horse.
Some guys got lucky. Some guys bought it with a consortium. You're right. For the most part, there's a lot of them, but trust me.
What? Doug O'Brien? Giving his horses cocaine and stuff. He had a big Doug O'Brien. We got this horse for $15,000.
I was there.
It's like, yeah, it's good for you, buddy, but you're suspended for life. You're barred.
I was there. It's like, I'll have another. Was going for the Triple Crown game. We were working at the TV station. They sent me to Belmont Park. I did an interview with Ric Flair of horse racing, Bob Baffert, and everybody. I had great tape. New story. Doug O'Brien busted. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's the thing. Bad practices in the barn.
I think he got suspended. What did they pay for that horse for real? I think it was $20,000.
It might have been 20 or 30. Yeah, it wasn't a lot.
Yeah, it wasn't like 5 or 10. I think it was 25, 35,000.
The bottom line.
That is a long shot, though.
It is.
Because you're going up against the
million-dollar horses
who are training the Sheik and Dubai and United Emirates, who have $5 million horses.
Yeah, horses with diamond nuts. They breed.
Secretariats.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Game time decisions.
Game time decisions, Red Heat and Rage Radio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Fantasy Factor, single contest, entries only. Too late to get into that free Sweet 16 bracket that they reposted, but they've got a home run derby contest. Not for the home run derby, but they've got a baseball contest. It's free to enter. www.fantasyfactor.com. Free contest, great for the recreational player. Like you said, he's only entered like one lineup.
Yeah, so there's guys put in like, what, 50, 100 lineups. It gets crazy after a while. I like the one lineup. That's the way it should be.
We won a couple of bucks last night in DraftKings.
So did I at the hockey.
We were plus money, but the basketball is incredibly frustrating. You need sheer freaking perfection. So it's like basically last night I got a good basketball lineup, but I don't have Kemba Walker.
Yeah.
Kemba Walker scores 35 points, 10 rebounds the other night. I don't have Dwight Howard. It's always like it's like moving goalposts, man. It's like our picks are good. Like, I look at my lineup. It's like, man, boom. Six times value, six times five, six. Good value here. Nice cheap player. Boom. But if you don't have that one explosion, and it's like every, especially late in the year, man, there's weird players that pop up and do crazy things.
It's happening everywhere. It's
like Dwight Howard doesn't care all year. Now suddenly one night, oh, you know what? I think I'll try tonight. And he gets 32 points and 30 freaking rebounds.
Walker went bananas yesterday.
Let's bring in a man who will never get 30 rebounds in the NBA. I don't even think he'll get 30 rebounds in like
the YMCA.
The YMCA
Nor would I, Gabe. I got a horrible vertical.
I don't think he'd get 30 rebounds at the
YWCA.
Because we all know white man can't jump and nobody's whiter than Babano. Babano. What's up, Babano?
Babano.
What's up, guys? Don't stretch the truth now, please.
You mean don't stretch you?
Yeah, or that. How are you guys? You doing good?
We're hanging in there, Babano. We're hanging in there, buddy.
I can't jump very well either, Babano, so don't feel bad.
I've actually had a nice little afternoon here in the office working away, and in the background, I've actually watched a full broadcast of the final round of the 1986 Masters. The great Jack Nicklaus come from behind on the back nine on that Sunday. You know, the big putt on 17, Vern Lundquist, that memorable call, maybe, yes, sir. And it was just, it's been great seeing that. If you're a golf fan, the Masters YouTube channel has the final round of every Masters going back to 1968. Good way to get ready for the Masters coming up pretty soon.
It's beautiful, beautiful place, Morenci. You know what the best thing about the Masters is, too? Other than watching people get kicked out and lose their family privileges for 10,000 years, the prices. When the beers were $1.50, the pimento
sandwich. I like the famous egg salad sandwich.
Oh, beautiful egg salad. Always done perfectly.
Is it good?
Oh, it's delicious. I hit everything up on that Masters value menu. And, hey, if you're going to pay and your family's going to wait 50 years, Babano, to get into the damn tournament, you know what? At least they don't fleece you with the concessions.
I'd like to play there.
God, so would I. No one won the media thing? Some dude at TSN when we were there, Corey Warren.
Oh, Corey, yeah.
Nice guy, actually. He kind of came up to me because we have a media contest, right?
So he got to play.
Yeah, remember, Babano, I didn't tell this story on the air to Morenci. You're going to love this one. So I'm in the international tent, and I was working with Adnan Virk, who's at ESPN now, right? So we started our day. The scorer didn't want us to stay in the village with the TSN guys and stuff. They had no money. So we had to drive an hour and a half in from a place, Thompson, Georgia. No problem. So we started work at 3:30 in the morning. We're usually done around 8 or 9. They were like 17-hour days, right? Feeding tape to global news stations. Anyway, I run into David Faraday. You know Faraday, the guy? And I'm sitting there, and I'm like passed out on the couch at the international thing. He goes, I'm looking for a big, fat Scottish guy. And not you.
I mean, right to left. I mean, 80, 90 yards. Yeah, David Faraday's a hoot, yeah.
That was the best. If he was looking for some guy like me who worked for, like, Will Hill Sport, some British channel,
that's
Sky
great.
Sports. Yeah. I'm looking for a big, fat Scottish guy, not you.
You know what I did?
A little right to left. A little right to left, yeah.
I did play... I did play. There was the PGA Skins.
Ooh, nice.
PGA Skins was in Montreal.
Montreal's
years ago.
Got nice courses. Very at underrated. Royal Montreal?
No, it was the El Diablo.
Ooh.
Freddie Couples design course.
Smooth.
El Diablo. And, John Daly. I think Tiger Woods might have been. Tiger Woods liked Montreal. He said Royal Montreal is like one of the most challenging courses in the world,
actually. That's what he said. He goes, I have to play this course.
He missed the cut there before.
Exactly. Yeah. He goes, they should play more events there. He goes, why not the Canadian Open? Like, what are you doing? Like, Glen Abbey, get a grip. Like, play at this course.
Yeah.
Montreal.
There's so many better choices and better golf courses than Glen Abbey. I don't know how they've gotten it so many times over the last 30 years. You got other courses. Even the Hamilton course is better than Glen Abbey.
Yeah. Oh, buddy, I used to do a golf show. Literally, Glen Abbey is probably ranked about in Canada, like not barely inside the top 50 or 60. Like, there's a million better courses.
So I played, and I was on the radio. I was on the local station. It was like the spot we covered and all that.
Cool.
So I got to play on the Monday after the tournament.
After everyone leaves. Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, so it was the Monday tournament.
That's what Corey did. Yeah.
Yeah, but the grandstand was still up.
Ooh, nice.
You know what? I played with Steve Rapp.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, Gabe, how you doing?
Yeah, he's the one that hooked it up. Because even, yeah, it wasn't easy to get on, right? It was still like an elite thing. Yeah, it was pretty cool, though. So I played Babano, like with the grandstand still up on the exact course, like that the pros were playing on the day before. It was a train wreck, man. Like, it was a freaking train wreck. I shot 123.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I shot 123. I literally, like, I couldn't get the ball over one leg. Like, I just couldn't. Like,
that's a bad kind of crooked number right there, yeah.
It was one of these deals where it was like I lost, like, because I lost, like, three balls in a row into the drink, and Rapp's like, come on, man, you can do it. I'm like, no, I can't. I'm like, I'm telling you, I can't do this. I can't. And I ran out of balls, and I had to start boring his. So we got to another lake. He's like, just take a drop this time, all right? I was like, yeah.
And you know him. He doesn't have, like, rocks in his bag. He's got Tyrese Pilatus Moranti. They're $5 a pop.
I'm spraying balls into the drink left and right. But the best was with the grandstand. It was fun. It saved my ass, like, three times. Can't
just hit it. Bang.
Oh, dude, I freaking drilled it, man. Yeah. Bang, and it was so much fun hearing it, like, clink off the aluminum, like, grandstand.
Do it again.
Bam. Once it hit the grandstand, right onto the green.
Oh, it does.
Rap was like, you're the luckiest guy I've ever
met. You got the Tiger Woods bounce.
I smacked it off, like, the seats, and it bounced.
Hey, better to be lucky than good sometimes, yeah.
Actually, you know what? It was a 116. It was a 116, but I think I quit in frustration.
Yeah, let's call it out for yeah. 116 there would actually be amazing. If
no.
Tips. Like, that's
no,
good,
I'm going to say, though, I think I quit. I was at 116, I think, at about the 14th hole or something.
Yeah.
And finally, yeah, I was like,
enough is enough.
No, it beat me down. I was like, this isn't fucking
of course.
Steve Rapp was Mr. Inside the Lines with Randall the Handle for years, although much like with Cellino and Barnes, they split up.
Listen, yep. Rap, yeah. Rap, just as ugly. Rap plays more golf than Donald Trump.
Man. I know
the
he
guy's
does.
On the course all the time.
Of course, yeah. He has business deals.
He's pretty good, actually.
Actually, I bet he's good. I could just tell by looking at him. I bet that guy just hits it right down the middle.
And the thing is, too, when we played, we were playing for money. So I'm getting suckered.
Yeah, he's fleecing.
I'm going to beat these guys.
They play for a living.
So I'm. I told him, all right, I was going to tee off from the women's tees.
Oh, yeah, that's
I thought it was fair.
That's very fair.
So I said, all right, I said, listen, I'm going to tee off from the chick tees. And it was way ahead, too. I was like, guys, I can't play this course, and let alone play for money. You got to put me on the chick tees at least. So I was rapping a couple of his buddies and stuff and radio guys I know. Oh, yeah, so they're like, all right, go ahead. So I started, like, sort of driving towards the woman, and they're all like, hey, Morenci. You forgot your purse.
Yeah.
And they were like, they
where's your skirt?
Yeah. They were like, you can't tee off. Like, they were joking. Yeah. They were like, you can't tee off from the woman's tees. I was like, all right, fine, guys, fine.
Or give me strokes, you
doing like these 220-yard drives. It's taking me like seven shots to get to the green.
It's tough.
Oh, it was brutal. It was brutal. It's like watching these kids play college basketball.
Yeah.
All right, prepare.
I'll tell you what. Speaking of Steve Rapp, Abe's told on air and to all of us the black hole story with TSN Radio. It could have been Inside the Lines with you guys and Steve Rapp, but that's what could have been. It's a shame.
It's okay. But, man, we're here with you, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. We got good days ahead. You got to look at it that way. We got good times rolling ahead. Starting tonight where we cash some winners.
Winners! Right. More winners.
All right, Babano. Clemson and Kansas, West Virginia, Villanova, both five-point spreads, just like those two games were last night, 5 and 6, with the underdogs winning outright.
Yeah, I mean, this is to me, I'm bothered by Kansas. Everything's telling me Brad Brownell and Clemson, this little magic carpet ride of theirs, has to come to an end tonight. They've been able to do it without Grantham this whole time, which I thought was going to be a big absence for them going into the tournament. They've managed to overcome it. DeVoe's really shot the ball extremely well for Clemson. He's a guy that's really sussed, gotten better, and been able to stand up and play well for this Clemson team. Kansas has a great backcourt edge. Azubuike should be good to go in this game. I think they're going to win, but I got some question marks about Kansas in terms of their endgame execution. It wasn't good against Seton Hall, and laying 5, it's got to be good if they're going to cover that kind of number. I lean to them winning, but not comfortable laying the 5.
I know, Babano, we like to be a family and a team, but sometimes we got to be on different sides here. I really need Purdue, like, for, like, serious cash. And,
I like Purdue.
We could really, no, I'm just looking at Babano, though. I think he's got a lean to Texas Tech there, Gabe.
Chris Beard.
Yeah, tell us about this one, Babano. I think you're thinking about going the other way. You like Texas Tech over Purdue tonight?
Very much so, in a big way, actually. We like Texas Tech here in this game tonight. A team that I thought was undervalued going into the tournament. An elite defensive team, 40.2% shooting. And the thing about the Isaac Haas absence, and Matt Harms is good, actually, in terms of defending in the paint. He's very good, but he's a limited offensive player. And one of the best things about Isaac Haas is his passing ability. He could draw the double team, get people surrounding him around the basket, kick out to Dakota Mathias, Vince Edwards, Carson Edwards, the outside Purdue perimeter shooters, and there'd be a wide open shot. You lose that passing ability with him not in the game. And Texas Tech has a senior point guard in Keenan Evans that if you watch him play, if this game's close late, he's going to make plays. He's going to make big shots. He did it against Florida. And this is the bugaboo round for Matt Painter. He's got to show it to me. Purdue 0-3 in the Sweet 16 round under Matt Painter. This is the round where Purdue and their national title hopes have gone to die, and I think they die one more time tonight.
Yeah, Painter has hit the wall in the past.
Yeah, Painter, he just can't seem to get it
done.
Know,
you know what's too bad, though, for Painter? And it's funny because I actually looked this up coming into the tournament, specifically Matt Painter, when I was going through the key elements needed to win. I want to see the, as far as he's gotten. Matt Painter actually has gotten a lot of tough draws over the years.
And injuries.
It is true, constantly. He's had the worst luck this
guy.
Every time he's got a really good team, somebody gets hurt.
At tournament time.
Or, you're playing Kentucky. It's one
Who's
of these
that
weird...
other guy they had a while, years ago, Hummel? Like, he was one of the
yes,
best
Robbie
players.
Hummel.
Yeah, Robbie Hummel. Like, every time you got
every
the best
time.
Player, he gets hurt. It's
every
it.
Time.
He actually, that guy's got a dark cloud. He deserves better.
That's why I'm thinking, you know, I think it might be different this time.
Can Sister Jean give some race?
Well, I
got to
tell you, how
Purdue.
Many and how many so-called experts, Babano, everybody, ooh, Mark Few versus Leonard Hamilton.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, how'd that work out last
exactly.
night, right?
That was my only bad beat there.
I think we can overanalyze things sometimes.
Yep.
Look, we had Mike Blewett on earlier in the week. Mike, you know, great numbers guy. He says with this Harns kid that they're better defensively.
Yeah, not offensively, but defensively.
Yeah, so
sure.
look,
yeah.
Haas.
I agree.
You're right, Baban. I mean, Haas scoring 14 points a game. They feed it to him. It opens up the three ball for them, right? You know, that's the thing. They kick it to him. It collapses on him. He can either score or kick it back out. It's going to take that option away now because they're going to know you're not kicking it into this guy. This guy might clean up some garbage and have a couple of dunk putbacks. Yep. He'll score 8 to 10 points.
Yep.
But so basically Clemson's going to Purdue's really going to have to shoot the ball well tonight.
And they got to get in on Texas Tech. It's going to be very tough for
and they're going to have to shoot and they're going to have to shoot it well against a team that's given up barely 40% from the field. So that's going to be, I think, the issue here for Purdue in this game tonight. Hey, I mean, if you're using the Purdue, you like them. They're still a good team. Can they overcome the injury? They did it against Butler, but the reason I didn't put too much stock into that win, Butler's done nothing on the road or in neutral courts this year. They've been abysmal, and Purdue had to barely get by that team. We'll see. You know what they sometimes say: overanalysis leads to paralysis. So maybe that's the case here if you're back in Purdue.
Every game's different, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, the same people
that
were worried about, oh, Michigan barely struggled, barely beat Houston, now the big size at A&M.
Texas A&M, they got murdered. That game was over before it started.
You know,
and I enjoyed that every second of it. Yes.
Guys like us, you know, we got to talk about this stuff, but these games are pretty freaking simple.
Yep.
One team... You either hit your shots
or you
don't.
Especially in college. Hate to say it at college, too. Three-point shooting.
Yeah.
If you're not hitting your three-point shots, you go cold, you're done.
It's like if Michigan are shooting well, they're really hard to beat. If they're not, then
they can be beaten.
They're an average team. So then Purdue can fall into this category tonight as well.
Potentially, but I would take Michigan's team game and Beeline's coaching over Purdue's team game and Painter's coaching.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Purdue have the big explosive offense and all that. But you're right. That's the difference, man. The team play. All right, we got 2 minutes here, Babano. So Loyola Chicago and Sister Jean continue. Sister Jean, you're the only one.
Motorin, what's your price for flight? Get to the Final Four, and you'll be all right on Saturday night. Da, 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 da.
Good job.
Babano on the spot there.
Loyola, Chicago. I don't know, Babano. It seems like the conspiracy theory would be that they'd want Sister Jean's story to continue into the Final Four.
I was not betting that side last night, Loyola or Nevada. I stayed out of it, and now I'm mad I didn't bet Loyola again because I had them the first two games. They beat Miami, Tennessee. I'm going to hop right back on Loyola again tomorrow. Kansas State again now is a favorite. They're getting bet 1.5 here in this game. I don't know. I mean, Loyola-Chicago's got something better. I'll tell you what, if this game's close again, Loyola-Chicago, they've shown you time and time they can get it done. They make the big shots. They get the stops. Dante Ingram's been good. Richardson's been good. Krautwein, the big guy, has been good. Clayton Custer's been good. These guys have all made good plays, so I like Loyola.
Ian Cameron, SportsRumble.com, Sportsbook Review, YouTube page. Game Time Decision continues.
See you guys.
Have a good one.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Surprisingly enough, Serbia and Morocco. Man, it was like 2-1 at the half. Similar situation with Saudi Arabia and Ukraine. Can we escape? I should almost just cash out right now.
Yeah, that's think about it. Like, if you're going to, for the amount of dollars, like, if you're going to save a few bucks,
yeah.
You know what? Cash out.
I cashed out.
It's a smart. Because if there's one more goal and you lose it, you lose it.
I cashed out.
See, that's what a prudent man does. Sometimes you just
got to learn my lesson.
Take the winnings.
You know what's funny?
Take
last night,
the units.
Nevada were out off,
when they tied it up
early.
When they tied it up, cash out, cash out.
No, well, not
oh,
when
even
they tied
before,
it up.
When you the don't want
to. Yeah, then it's
started,
too late to cash out when it's tied. Yeah, Nevada got out to a big start, and we could have cashed out for a nice little chunk, but Loyola Chicago didn't seem like to me like the type of team that would come back either. But they did a good job by them. Tough game now against Kansas State. For the record, my Michigan Wolverines. I like how now everyone's jumping on Michigan's bandwagon. Michigan now 4.5-point favorites against Florida State. The number just keeps creeping up. Still a manageable number.
It is, but
it's not Michigan's best spot whenever they're big favorites. And, you know, I'm not saying it's a big favorite, but Florida State are hot right now.
Florida State is covered and won as a dog in all their games. Not just they're won them as dogs. Like, they're going through. I'm scared now because they have athletes. And you talked about, great point, all the
Michigan's going to beat them.
We fell in. Hey, Mark Few, Gonzaga, yeah. And here's a tip, Gonzaga. You sucked in that game. You didn't hit your threes. You did nothing. Florida State had athletes, and that's a scary thing. Gabe, you know it. Once that dog gets life and starts to believe, and Florida State has the players. It's a damn good school. We know about Florida State football, basketball. They get athletes. They got them. The thing about Michigan is the one advantage, and you know that, the shooting. Michigan, when their threes are dropping, these guys are machines. Like, Beeline's always had that way. Even with West Virginia back in the day,
much
his kids could shoot.
Shooters.
They could shoot, man. Hey, Bear, all those guys, the big men can shoot.
Pitsnoggle.
I love the good old Pitsnoggle. He's that guy. He's the best. Just covered in tats. Hey, man, where's my whiskey? That guy looked like he was 38 drunk in the bar out there. But, man, he hit shots. I'll tell you, though, that's the advantage. But I'm scared of Florida State now. You bring up a really good point, man. This team's playing with house money, and they're starting to look scary.
We'll be all right.
I still want to take Michigan. I need Michigan. I'm with you. And that's the thing. I'm not jumping on any bandwagons. It's purely financial. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're a huge Michigan fan. I would love to get some money in this big ass pool and start taking care of some bills.
Go
Blue.
No, we're pulling for you. I felt a lot better last night when I saw that Charles Barkley liked Texas A&M.
That guy is the worst capper in the history of capping. Like, whatever he says, do the opposite.
But
like,
they all do. I mean,
yeah, they all pick favorites.
The college guys,
they
never pick an upset, ever. They always think,
we're going to take this. Like, the whole time, I'm just like, and the thing is, these numbers, it's not like they're 12-point favorites. Like, look at the numbers last night. Nevada was what? 1.5. Kentucky was what? 5.5? 5? Like, see, these are not, like, it's not like it's minus 13 or whatever. So, I don't know, Gabe. The one game that's really, I'm starting, I want to take dogs so bad. I just have a bad feeling Syracuse gets absolutely manhandled tonight. Like it ends. But
I'm playing the money line parlay. I'm going
to
do it.
I think I really want to take. I like to take all dogs. You know my style. But West Virginia against Villanova, I think, is a bad matchup. So I'm probably going to stay with Villanova. Clemson, I think, might be a live pooch against Kansas. I don't want to lay 11.5 with Duke, but I don't want to take Syracuse, and we really need Purdue. I'm a little bit scared about that game. I don't know how you feel. That's a tight one.
Plus 134.
Is that parlay?
Yeah.
Not bad.
Plus 134. Kansas to win. Villanova to win. Duke to win.
I like two.
No
out of
point spreads.
As Meatloaf said, I like the 2 out of 3 for sure, but not.
I'm about Clemson, about Kansas.
Yes, that's the game that scares me. I know, like Duke.
Villanova's no lock, really, either.
No, West Virginia's a good team. They've been playing really good. Like they're dangerous. Like, but the problem is Villanova's fast.
They'll give them all they can handle.
So what is the parlay lay with just Villanova and Duke? Probably what, -300?
No, this
-2.
My guess,
change.
Villanova and Duke will be
two and change.
No, I'm going to say it'll be -1. 80? -158.
Okay, I'm going to say
171. Yeah, okay. I was going to say that too.
158's not 171.
171's not bad.
It's actually not bad when you really think about it. You don't have to deal with backdoor covers, BS nonsense.
See, instead of -171, I like that +134. Adding Kansas, it's a 65 cent swing.
It is Gabe. You're a grown man. You got to do your thing.
I'm starting to.
I'm just worried about that game.
I'm starting to like the plus money aspects of things a lot more and more in my older age.
I want you to be that man because you know what? Guys who play like that,
these games are all—they're all toss-ups, anyways. These games. So if I'm going to risk it, I might as well risk it for a plus money play, right?
I told you, a wise man told me the same thing, man. It's just about dogs. You said it over time, right? So you get 10 cents on the bet. You do it over time and time and time again. What do bookies fear?
The math doesn't add up.
The math doesn't add up. And what do bookies fear? Parlay guys. You know what? You can't hedge parlays. You start clipping them. You start getting hot. You start playing with house money. Ding, 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 ding. That wise Chinese guy who taught me how to play blackjack told me the same damn thing. Always look for plus money. I should stick to it. I do better when I bet dogs anyway.
Baseball season coming up.
Oh,
it's a good
dog days. Dogs, dogs, dogs.
Yeah, but not crazy dogs.
No, but
you're not doing
time.
It just for the sake of it.
Exactly.
But, but the plus 120s, you just can't be scared. Basically, pick who you think is going to win the game.
Yep.
Right, and pick who you think is going to win the game.
Bad teams win over 60 games. It's like that's baseball, man.
You know, look, and Merrill was right, but in a sense that, look, last night a bunch of underdogs win, 5-point underdogs win. Does it have any correlation on the matchup tonight?
No.
No, but at the same point in time, the entire tournament has had this theme.
I know.
So does it suddenly change? And another thing is, I think it does have an impact, actually, because basically Clemson are 5-point underdogs. Clemson's coach can say to the kids, Kansas State guys last night were 5-point underdogs, right? They did it. Like, they watch this stuff. So they start to buy in and believe as well, seeing other teams be successful, specifically a Syracuse, a Clemson. You know, everyone talks like, the so-called experts, like we know exactly what's going to freaking happen.
Nobody knows.
Like you think right now the kids on Syracuse think they have no chance against Duke?
No, they believe it. They think they can win outright, obviously.
They're thinking that they have, it's a 50-50
game.
Tie. Like, you know what
they
I mean? They think they're going to win, saying, yeah, they don't. They're not going in there thinking, oh, you know what? We lost by 16 earlier in the year, and they only went 2-for-18 from three-point land.
No, what I can,
they don't give a crap about that. No, they're thinking, you know what? They're going to throw the ball up in the air, and we're going to play basketball for 40 minutes, and we're not intimidated by anyone on that team.
I can tell you, if me and you were on Syracuse, what I'd be saying, we're 11.5-point dogs, and we're getting no respect from these jerk-offs from Cameron. You know what I mean? It's like boom, boom, boom.
Well, the old days,
you use that spread to fire it up, man. It's us versus the world right now. They're huge underdogs in this game.
Yeah, you know, in the old days, actually, you know, they never talked about point spreads. The announcers didn't bring it up much. Coaches wouldn't. Players wouldn't. Now we're in a new era where they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they do.
For sure. They know.
Like, I remember Alabama's football team was the first thing that they noticed. They're like, man, we're 2-point underdogs. Like, they noticed
Angered.
And it stuck with them.
Yes.
And you're exactly right. Like, the team captains told the guys during practice, you know, the so-called experts don't even think that we're favored. You know, we should win this game. And athletes love that.
Yeah. It's great bulletin board
athletes
material.
Athletes love that
stuff. They soak it up.
You figure that it wouldn't matter. What the hell? Who cares what anybody's saying? But they like to know these people are doubting us. But, you know, then a lot of these people, they take it too far. Nobody believed in us. It's like, dude, you know.
People did, but, yeah.
You know, you were 2-1 season favorites to win before the year started. Like, back off on the under. Like, Coach K will bust that crap out. Like, Duke will go to the Final Four. Been a tough year. Nobody believed in us. And it's like, shut up, dude. Your favorite to win the stupid tournament.
I know, exactly.
Yeah, like, no one believed in you. I know. Like, that's why Vegas made you the stupid favorites right now. I don't think they should be the favorites.
No.
I think Duke's going to win this game, and then they're going to lose to Kansas, I believe. I think Kansas is going to beat them.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I got a weird feeling about Clemson tonight. I can't shake it. I don't know if what it is. Is it the breeze from the window? I'm telling you, Gabe. Like,
is it the breeze from the window?
Kansas. It's just, man. We got to look at the numbers and what people are playing and stuff. Because some of those dogs yesterday. Did anybody think Kansas? Like, I took Kansas State just because I believed that Kentucky was still young with those players, and that's what happens with young teams. It doesn't matter how talented you are. And Calipari, for a good coach, at the end of that game, that was really mismanaged. Dude, take a timeout. Figure it out. You got young kids there. Like, what are you doing? Like, you get paid the big bucks to make young kids understand, not panic, and run your systems. That's what I don't understand. You're making way more money. Like, Illinois, Chicago's coach, these other coaches, you're supposed to be the cream of the crop. These are blue chip prospects that are going to the NBA. You should be better, Gabe. Bad, bad, bad. Overrated job. And you know what? Good on Kansas State.
He was 6-0 in Sweet 16 play.
Yeah, well, he also has, when you look at the talent and the guys who go to the NBA, he should be 6-0 in NCAA play. That's what he should do. With the talent that they have in the team, being young or whatever, those guys go to the NBA. A lot of these kids on the other teams, they don't. So.
Do you love watching your fantasy player score winning touchdown, Cam?
Damn right I do.
Now imagine you got to call that touchdown play.
Amazing.
The Fan Control Football League is putting play calling in the hands of the fans with real professional football players running the action. From drafting rosters to voting on trades, the FCFL Fan is one part coach, one part GM, and one part owner. This is all done through the fan token. Fans earn fan tokens each time their votes yield a successful outcome. The more fan tokens a fan earns, the greater the power attributed to their future votes. Visit FCFL.io to learn how you can take control. And, of course, it leads you to getting a cut of the $1 million championship purse.
Sounds amazing. And Tony Shrimps and Cata says, hey, he's working on the cheerleading aspect.
Yeah, he wants
too.
To control the cheerleaders. Yeah,
and I think Tony should have that right to control the cheerleaders.
Except I don't know how much control they're willing to give him. Like, does that mean control? You're going to choose who the cheerleaders are going to be, or you want full control over them?
I think he wants full control over them.
Yeah, is that like that's the two? There's two different things there, Sincata, right?
Exactly.
So at this time next week, baseball season will have started.
It starts on Thursday. It's going to be fun to do the DFS baseball, man. It's going to be wild. And you know, Steam
Shrimp. It's going to be a grind.
Oh, it's going to be a grind. But you know what, though? He's good. He's real good. Going to come up with some good stuff. I love it. No, I'm actually
baseball
really excited
DFS for baseball. And baseball betting as a whole. Baseball is like a Mexican soap opera. If you miss a couple episodes, you're in a lot of trouble.
Big trouble.
A lot of stuff happens. Like, baseball is not the type of sport. It's difficult to do. You can do it in the NBA. Look now. Look, everyone's betting college basketball, and I didn't really pay much attention to the NBA last night, although I'm pissed I didn't take the Pelicans and the Lakers over the number.
Yep.
But everyone's at college basketball. But, you know, you jump back into the NBA, you can just sort of look, all right, what happened in our last game that I missed? And, you know, you can figure it out. Baseball is completely different.
You got to be on top of it.
You can't just look at the score and say, all right, look, they played the last two games. They won this. They did that. These guys are playing. I don't know how much of the bullpen was used.
Yeah, bullpen matchups, lefties versus righties. Get out your calculator.
Yeah,
it's like going to calculus class.
There's so many variables on a daily basis. Like, it really, like, what happened in one day really sort of rolls over to the next day. Who's hot? Who's cold? Who's streaky? You know, that's. Because baseball is like gambling. We say it all the time. There's, you know, the old cliche that the worst team's going to win 62-plus games at least. But I swear, Cam, like you see it every year, the worst teams have like 7- and 8-game win streaks. It'll happen. Like, even a team that wins 65 games at a time will win six in a row, and they'll lose nine in a row. And to me, that's the whole key to identifying the teams that are in a free fall. It's a very streaky sport, baseball.
I know it is.
So if a team is, you know, if they've won three, four in a row, just keep riding it. And if a team is cold, that's my big, and we'll talk about the advice. And I've lost money doing this in the old days when I was young and dumb, and I'm old and dumb now, but I'm a little smarter. But baseball is the worst sport. Don't do it where you're like, a good example would be the Yankees this year. They're going to be big favorites, and it's going to happen. There's going to be some guy, man, in the Bronx that's going to say, you know what? I'm betting 500 on the Yankees in the opening game of the year.
And
they're loaded.
Well,
they're going to be like minus 190. Next thing you know, you're down. You're down $840 to your bookie. Well, then he's going to say, man, there's no way they lose the second game. Boom. They lose the second game. No, there's no way they get swept. Boom. They could. Don't chase in baseball. You can in basketball. There is a zigzag theory that, yeah, listen, this team's back home now. They've lost two in a row. They're going to get back on track. Baseball, don't say, oh, man, there's no way that the St. Louis Cardinals can't beat the Marlins on Sunday. Yeah, they can.
Yeah, I know.
Like, they can
lose. And a friend of ours, a colleague of ours, we'll call him Psycho Mike. When I used to work with him 15 years ago, he's like, yeah, I need money right now. I need a quick, like, $10,000. I'm just betting the Yankees against, back then, the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. Devil Rays win first game at plus 220.
Then he doubles up.
Oh, I got to put, so I'm down 10. Okay, I got to come back to the Yankees there. Devil Rays won at plus 270. Boom. Plus,
exactly.
This guy was, it's the quickest way to lose 30 grand. Like, and he's playing big units. Like, it is a, you can't do that, man. You will go on tilt. You will lose your bankroll. That's the thing. Baseball takes discipline, too. It's tough, though, man. It's
I know
it's
a dude who chased the Chicago White Sox once for like a week and a half.
Oh, just a nightmare.
In the old days when they were good, and with Ozzie Guillen, when they won the World Series in that era. And, yeah, same thing. Like, he bet like 500 a game. Yep. It was like a weekend series. The White Sox got swept.
Yep.
And he was down like two dimes. And then it was like, yeah, but no, look, now they're on the road. And, like, it's against, you know, they were terrible at the time. It was against Kansas City. Yeah, and, no, they'll get on track.
No, they won't.
They lost, like, another two in a row. Like, they lost, like, six or seven in a row.
It's a nightmare.
Yeah, you can get in a lot of trouble. Like, because basically, you know, where you're going, you know, unless you're the Cleveland Browns, you're not losing six NFL games in a row. Most NBA teams, even the Sacramento Kings.
They'll find a way at home.
They win one in every four games.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They win 25 out of the 80 games, right? They win one out of the four. Baseball's different.
No.
You can really lose 11 in a row. You can win seven in a row.
Look at the Dodgers last year.
Yeah,
I know. They couldn't lose.
In the first half of the season, the Dodgers set all-time freaking records, man. You know what? I think they were like 49-6 at one point or something stupid, whatever the hell it was. They set all-time records. And then in August,
they were money burners.
I think they went 4-26 or whatever.
At minus what? Minus 200, minus 240, minus 300.
It was the first time. I'm making my point now, actually, and I wasn't even thinking about the Dodgers. Last year, the Dodgers were the first team in Major League Baseball history to have a 15-game winning streak and a 15-game losing streak in the same season.
Unbelievable. Welcome to baseball, buddy.
Remember when we were doing the stock watch? Yeah. The Dodgers were giving it all back.
I know.
They were like plus 48 units and stuff, and then suddenly it was like, ooh, they're only plus 12 units.
It got down quick. Yeah, baseball's going to be a lot of fun. Stick to, you know, small favorites and dogs, and don't panic. Don't chase.
We got NBA basketball. We got some NASCAR DFS talk later with Cicada, some NBA DFS talk. We'll get to some bets with the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. We'll take a look at tonight's card, NBA.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Time decisions, Red Heat and Rage Radio continues. Hey guys, cameras off. Rambo was eliminated. Only a half point coming into today. Kiradash, Appa Barnrad had 2 points coming into today.
Yeah.
Des Reavy was the only guy to win a chance to win the group.
That's what I meant to say with the push, though. If Rom wins and the other guys push, then...
Rom was out.
No, but Arthur Barnrat wins. If the two guys are 1-1 and 1-1-1, they play each other, and then the other guy, Bradley, would come. Do you understand what I'm saying? If Rom was 1-1 and 1, he ties a guy at 1-1-1, they have a playoff to get to. Do you understand what I'm saying?
There is no second place.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, sorry. That's for the other time. Okay, no, sorry. You're right. I apologize. I was just absolutely correct. There was no mathematical chance.
Cam's having a hard time understanding the bracket system here, Tony.
Yeah,
no, you're right. Sorry, Tony.
We only do it once a year, so don't worry about it, Cam. I mean, what the hell?
I was thinking two guys advanced for some reason. What the hell?
Yeah, well, you played a lot of T-ball as a kid, I guess. Everybody wins.
No, but there was a chance that there could have been a playoff to advance, but yeah, it didn't work out.
Exactly.
Yeah, it didn't work
out. Paul Casey didn't work out in a playoff today. He lost.
Craig Martin says to Cam, tell Cam, don't bet on Patrick Reed. He's playing horrible, can't hit a fairway.
What are you talking about? Don't bet on Patrick Reed. He's 2-0 in his group, and he's leading Jordan Spieth right now. Is he not, Tony?
Yeah, he's 3-0 if he wins this.
If he wins this, he's 3-0. Like, I'm not going to say he's going to win the tournament, but he's 12-1. Like,
I mean, yeah. I mean, that guy's going on a limb. There's 63 other golfers. Who do you think is going to win then? Come on, man.
No, I took Patrick Reed at 40-1.
Stooch says Kiradash Afra Barnrat has won two tournaments on the Euro Tour, and both were match play events.
Stooch is absolutely correct.
Might be worth a sprinkle.
Good call, Stooch.
He ate everybody else. He's big, man. He's big.
Oh, dude, he's like Jabba the Hutt out there. Barenzi said it. He's just got that big, and like, he's just massive.
The clubs look so stupid in his hands.
They look small, Tony. Very small.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
they're like toothpicks. Like, he's got huge mitts. He's how much does he weigh? You think he's got? Because he's not that. I don't know how tall he is, but he's got to be. I don't know. What do you think, Gabe? Three
320?
I'm thinking about 325. Yeah, like he's. Ask Tony. Tony, he's huge.
He plays into the hands of people though that say that golfers aren't athletes, Tony.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
are race car drivers athletes?
Yes.
Yo, big time. You got to have a heart attack in that small space.
The endurance. Plus, think about it. You can't take a leak for like 5 hours. That's like athletic in its own right.
So it's endurance, small spaces. Then Chris Angel could be one.
They don't have the pens?
No, they're taking leaks.
Of course they are. They got undergarments with their soluble solutions.
Yeah, they have
adult Pampers.
Yeah, yeah. It's not the pretty part of NASCAR. No. They don't like talking about that part of it.
Guys go. They have to.
Yeah, no one's holding it in.
You know what's crazy?
You say you had a bad meal before a long race, too. You get some bad seafood. That's a problem.
You know what's crazy?
I believe, like, Tony, you've got unsettled stomach right now, Tony.
Oh, yeah. I feel like I got to poop, but it won't come out. Like, you ever have that sitting right on the edge?
Yeah, too much cheese.
That's why I had some cheese today, too. I went Mexican. You ever go Mexican?
I like to take a tour around the world, Tony. Love it all.
So, the big news yesterday, well, every day there's something going on in the Trump world, but of course.
Yes.
Joe Biden, Uncle Joe, Crazy Joe. Joe Biden said that if he was in the same high school with Donald Trump, he would have taken him out back and beaten the hell out of him. Donald Trump responded with a tweet. Crazy Joe Biden is trying to act like a tough guy. Actually, he is weak, both mentally and physically. And yet he threatens me for the second time with physical assault. He doesn't know me, but he would go down fast and hard. Crying all the way. Don't threaten people, Joe. So, Joey Odessa, our buddy odds maker, a world-renowned odds maker, has made odds, and he's made Trump a favorite. But Joey Odessa loves Trump, so he's a little biased.
I'm going to be honest with you. If you made Trump a favorite against Biden, I'd put a lot of money on Biden.
He made Trump a minus
slow.
180 favorite.
Oh, God. What, plus 160 for Biden? All day long.
This is the reasoning.
It's a lot. It's
Donald good. Trump is 6'3".
Yeah.
He's about 250, 260 pounds.
Yeah, he's a big man.
If that. He's probably about 3. He's pretty fat.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
So, like, his jacket hides it in. He wears, like, a cummerbund and stuff, I think.
He's Mr. Big and Tall. I get it.
Yeah. Biden comes in at about 180, 190.
quicker.
Biden's 4 years older, too. Biden's 74.
I have a feeling it's
Trump's 71.
The thing about Trump is, though, I think it's about speed. I got a feeling that Biden would just get more shots in there and after a while wear
No, Cam, you got to think realistically. How many shots is a 74-year-old going to fire? He'll get more shots. If he throws two shots and survives without having a heart attack, that's good.
Hey, listen,
how many fights do you think Donald Trump has been in his life?
Exactly.
How
exactly.
many has Joe Biden Trump. Been in?
More than Trump. And I'll tell you another thing. Trump's diet, he wolfs down more fat KFC than me. He loves fast food on the plane.
Right? What are you talking Pickers about?
Bars. Trust me, this guy eats.
He's had a lot of aerobic activity with a lot of women.
He's...
Man, he really has knocked a lot of chicks, yeah?
Yeah.
Did they say he had great endurance? I don't hear anything about that.
I haven't heard any complaints.
So what do you say, Tony? So you're laying the price with Trump if Trump
is Biden, because Biden's going to hit him twice, and like, it's going to Trump. It's going to Trump's going to get a little shocked by it at first, and then he's going to, like, just, you know, use his weight on him and get on top of him, and then it's over.
That's the thing, you can fall on top of
I will say this for Trump, he'll fight dirty too, like little, like foreign objects, sand, rock.
I was going to say Biden would fight dirtier. He's a Democrat. They're sleazier. Like, you know, I've always said that. Like, Republicans will screw you, but they'll tell you.
Yeah.
We don't like you. You know, we like the KKK. We want to build a wall.
Yeah.
Like, they don't hide it. Yeah, we don't like Mexicans.
Democrats
we want to build a wall.
But liars. Liars.
Yeah, Democrats will say, no, I like you. Like you.
And then they'll stab you from behind.
They'll rob you. Right? Like, Biden will have, like, a hidden wrench and stuff like that.
How many tough guys have you met from Delaware, Cam?
None, other than Rich Gannon.
Rich.
But he went to school. Like, I'm not saying he's born in Delaware. He was the quarterback of the
Joe Flacco.
Flacco.
Not
Flacco
so tough.
Went to Delaware. Good call, Morenci. Good call.
He's not tough. He doesn't throw the ball 8 yards down the field anymore.
Oh, I know. There's nobody tough from Delaware. You made a good point, Tony.
Nobody's tougher than Joe Flacco.
Robert Conrad with us.
Who else is from Delaware?
I'm trying to. I just Googled Delaware. The Blue Delaware Hens. Tough guys.
Delaware tough guys.
Yeah. Guess what?
Famous Delaware tough guys.
Yeah, yeah. There's a tough luck tattoo where there's a bunch of tough guys in Delaware.
All right, so.
Yeah.
These are the most famous.
Oh, Dallas Green. He was a tough guy. He was from Delaware.
The manager, huh?
Yeah, he died at 82.
Valerie Bertinelli.
Wow, she's a good pastry chef.
One day at a time.
Yeah, she's into the cooking game now.
Yeah. She's cooking?
God, look at these people.
She looks a little like Rachel Ray.
A little bit, yeah, a little bit, yeah. That's
Rachel Ray's husband is a swinger. Does that mean she's a swinger?
I hope so. I'm a fan. Yeah. Aubrey Plaza, she's cute. She's got
nice eyes. Very 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 big.
She was on that show I don't know, what's that show? Community?
Yeah, one of those shows. So who's this chick?
Terry Polo.
Terry Polo. Marco Polo. Don't know this guy.
Ryan Phillip.
Yeah, this Delaware really blows. Nobody.
The chick.
Ella Dawn.
Yeah. The best female basketball player.
Judge Reinhold.
Oh, Delino Shields.
There we go.
Delino Shields. Joe Biden. Yeah, how the hell is Joe Biden the seventh most famous person from Delaware behind these other sticks?
I know, that's another thing. You can say what you want. That's disrespect.
Come on.
I know. Seriously, he's number seven.
Chuck Wicks. Never heard of Chuck Wicks. Valerie Bertinelli.
Yeah, told you.
We love her.
Paul Goldschmidt. Ooh, Goldie.
Sean Patrick Thomas. Never heard of him. Ooh, we found the toughest guy from Delaware, Tony.
Vince Vaughn.
No. One bourbon, one scotch, one beer.
Wow, George Thorogood, man.
Good call, Tony.
Really? That's awesome.
I ain't seen my baby since the day before last.
I got to be honest with George Thorogood. I like drinking alone, too. You know,
you
do? Those things I think you're a loser. No, I enjoy it. It's my time.
George Thorogood is basically like, you can't not like this guy.
No,
person can go, F George Thorogood.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a big fraud.
He's just a rock and roll guy. He's a big sauce. Great guitar.
George Thorogood. Yeah.
See, Cam, I think you can drink alone in a bar. Like, go by yourself and just sit there and watch people. But you can't drink alone on the couch watching American Gladiators, because then that leads to issues.
Why can't I, though? I go to the bar and do it, and I do it at home. Dave, you like to drink alone every once in a while when you're doing your shows with the wine?
It's not good if I drink alone. I get depressed. Exactly.
I like it.
What do you think happened to Zay Jones?
Well, he drank alone?
Yeah, and then he ended up naked, trying to throw himself through a window.
I guess it was synthetic. What do they call it? K1?
Yeah, that stuff's crazy,
is it ketamine?
It's like synthetic weed, but marijuana. It's not marijuana.
No, Chandler
Jones. Chandler Jones did the same thing with that, too. He had to go to the hospital.
They have all this money. How about you just do old-fashioned cocaine?
Yeah, that's another thing. Yeah, go grab some bud and some coke.
So, Zay Jones, of course. Yeah, he took all his clothes off, tried to jump off a 30-floor balcony. I said this, Tony, and I hate to admit I'm a Buffalo Bill fan, but I liked him a lot coming out of East Carolina.
Yeah.
Except, the warning signs were there. When a kid is wearing an O.J. Simpson car chase T-shirt on draft day... I tweet. I'm like, wow, guys. And I tweeted a picture. I'm like, we can't say we weren't warned. Like, at the time, I'm like, this guy's funny. Yeah. No, the guy's wearing an O.J. Simpson car chase T-shirt on draft day.
Yeah, that's not good. Not the look we're looking for here in Buffalo.
The charges were dropped, though. No charges.
Really?
I know. Oh, I thought it was only the vandalism charge was dropped.
He paid. Well, that's all he did. He didn't do anything. I mean, he got into an argument with his brother in the hallway. He's got to pay for the window he smashed,
I think he tried to litter, though, by throwing himself 30 floors down.
Settle down, Tony. You could have come up with at least a drop pass joke or something.
I went with littering.
You have any Chris Henry jokes, too?
No, I'm good. Yeah? I got a whole hour to go.
Any Sister Jean?
Oh, you know what? Some jackass today on Facebook, right, was like, enough with the Sister Jean and this stuff. I'm right. So I don't even know the guy. I wrote on his Facebook page. It must be a good day in the world when all you have to do is complain about a nun.
Exactly.
Yeah, Tony, we came up with we discovered the truth last night about Sister Jean, too.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
What happened?
She's a crisis actor. She doesn't even work at the school.
This guy's the best. She's a crisis actor.
She's a crisis actor. She's never been to the school. She's never even been there, all right? And you're going to see they're going to make it to the Final Four, and then she can do an interview with 60 Minutes where she pushes for gun control. That's the Sister Jean story.
She's sharp, man. She knew every player's name. I was like, wow. All the amendments.
Tony. Dude, I say she didn't even pick her own team. She's filling out other teams in bracket.
Yeah, she didn't have them in the bracket. But
I know.
I swear, Tony, same thing. I was in Vegas, and I kept seeing her, but the sound was down in the casino for their games. So I never heard Sister Jean talk until the other night. Dude, she sounds like she's 38.
Yeah, she was like rattling off all their names. It was amazing.
It's crazy.
I think it's a wig. It's a wig. You know who it is, actually?
Helen Hunt. We haven't seen her in a while.
No, it's Vicki Lawrence, Mama's House.
Yeehaw!
Oh, boy.
Vicki Lawrence!
Last night, the same thing. I said this to someone, and they were like, Marenzi, I don't think it's funny. You're making jokes about a guy.
Carol Burnett.
It's like, I know you're upset you had money on Nevada, but you shouldn't trash Sister Jean. Me saying she's a crisis actor, I'm not trashing her. God bless her.
That's a giving her
like
a job.
Like I said, I think it might be Vicki Lawrence from Mama's House.
Who is the throw?
You remember
Mama
that show?
Train?
I love it.
Mama's House.
Oh, Mama's House is great.
Mama's House. All right, I got to stop looking at Aubrey Plaza. She's pretty hot.
The same stooges in all those skits.
What are my chances of sleeping with Aubrey Plaza?
A lot better than Shakira. I say, you know what? In Costa Rica, I think you can run into somebody who looks kind of like that and say, you know what? It's party time. I just hit a 6-game parlay. Back to my place.
You know what's crazy?
I think she's a big hipster, though. Aubrey Plaza.
That's not good for you.
I think every male over 40 masturbated to a Farrah Fawcett poster.
Why not?
I stole a Farrah Fawcett butt.
Butt.
You know this? The butt in the 70s, the butts. Yeah. I stole a butt. My grandmother found it, made me return it.
Oh, boy.